Hi, I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, here today with a very special guest, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Now, Dr. Goldberg holds a bachelor's degree in biology and chemistry, a master's degree in counseling psychology, and a doctorate of dental surgery. He has written 20 best-selling and award-winning books, including Past Lives, Future Lives, and Exploring the Fifth Dimension. Dr. Goldberg has appeared on Oprah and the History Channel, and many other TV shows. So, Dr. Goldberg, it is an honor to have you here with me today.
Well, it's a pleasure on my level here, and some of your listeners may also be familiar with CBS did a movie for television called The Search for Grace that was based upon my second book about a documented case of reincarnation. So I also deal with past lives, and I developed the concept of going into future lives, which I call future life progression, which was documented in the Past Lives, Future Lives book too.
Very nice. And the book Exploring the Fifth Dimension, can you talk more about that? Because I understand that the information in that book is very pertinent to what we'll be talking about today.
Yeah, Exploring the Fifth Dimension is my newest book. It's actually my 21st book, and it's subtitled it's subtitled Parallel Universes, Teleportation, and Out-of-Body Travel. So what it deals with is the idea of entering into what we call the fifth dimension, which people will relate to things like the astral plane. But I go into the other different dimensions, including parallel universes. I'm sure a lot of your listeners, because of TV and, you know, X-Files and Fringe and all these TV shows and feature films, have talked about parallel universes, which is actually backed by quantum physics. They do exist. And that's also part of the fifth dimension. Anything beyond time, which is the fourth dimension, is considered the fifth dimension. And so this book teaches you how to explore, how to enter the fifth dimension perfectly safe, how to return, it's no big deal, and how you can actually grow spiritually as a result of going into the fifth dimension, because the whole point of all this is part of the ascension cycle. Perfecting the soul and not having to reincarnate requires leaving the earth plane, going into other dimensions, and then reincarnating. So the book is very relevant to spiritual growth, as well as the fun part of traveling the fifth dimension, which I've been out of the body 3,000 times in my life, and I'll tell you right now, it's a great experience.
Well, Dr. Goldberg, that is perfect, because you are one of the go-to experts who's going to be able to shed some light on the whole idea of out-of-body experience. So with that in mind, I'd like you to talk to us about the difference between an out-of-body experience, a near-death experience, and a conscious out-of-body experience.
All right, well, most of your listeners are familiar with the near-death experience because it gets all the attention. This is when a person literally clinically dies. Let's say they have a heart attack or they've been in some accident, and they actually clinically die for 2 or 3 minutes or a little bit longer, and they're in a hospital or some recovery or some paramedics are working with them. When they actually flatline, in other words, their brain levels, the brain waves flatline, which means they're clinically dead, then they come back, they're revived. They will describe the white light in the tunnel that Ray Moody reports way back in the 70s in his first book, and the idea of the spiritual, like a higher self or religious figure at the end of the tunnel helping them, a panoramic overview of their life, etc. So all those characteristics are represented by the near-death experience, or what we call the NDE. The difference here is that you don't want to do it, because you don't want to risk physical death, because if you are actually too far gone, you won't come back. So a near-death experience is a very dangerous situation. It happens, but you don't want to purposely do it. So that gets the attention, but it's a very rare experience. Most people do not go through near-death experiences. Very, very infrequent. Now, the second kind of out-of-body experience, which gets the second most attention, is the regular out-of-body. For example, people are, maybe they're meditating or they're doing self-hypnosis, or some people who are very ill because their mind is kind of wandering if they have the flu or some other illness, they wind up seeing themselves at the corner of the ceiling looking down at their physical body. And that's your classic OBE, or out-of-body experience. What's interesting, and my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book details this with the research of scientific laboratories and dream laboratories, is that every night when you go to sleep at night, when you go through the REM cycle or the dream cycle, you're actually out of the body. And that's 3 hours a night. So out-of-body experiences are normal and natural. The problem is people don't remember them. Most people don't remember 3 hours of dreams. Nobody remembers 3 hours of dreams every night. But these are normal, very safe experiences. Out-of-body experiences have never, in the history of science, in the last 150 years anyway, relating to this, have ever reported any physical, psychological, spiritual, or mental harm as a result of leaving the body. Because it's natural. We do it every night. Now, the third kind of out-of-body experience is actually the most important. And this is a term that I coined several years ago called the COBE, or the conscious out-of-body experience. What you're doing here is you're training the subconscious mind, or the soul, to merge with its perfect counterpart that we call the higher self, or the superconscious mind, at the moment of death. That's the ultimate person. When that happens, then you can avoid literally the karmic cycle. You can actually perfect the soul and literally ascend or facilitate the karmic cycle where you may only have to come back one or two more times. So the COBE, or the conscious out-of-body experience, is actually a very ancient art. It's been around for thousands of years. For example, the Christian masses, the various rituals that churches have done, mosques and temples over the centuries have done, really is trying to help the soul, the departed soul on the other side, the fifth dimension, to actually remove its karmic debt, so to speak, and to grow spiritually and eventually perfect itself. So the COBE is a technique which I describe, of course, in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, which is really the most important technique I've ever dealt with because it is the ultimate purpose of ascension.
Very nice. Well, that sounds like a very thorough book and something that our listeners would greatly benefit from. I wanted to know, how do you determine which dimensions you're in while astral voyaging?
Well, each dimension, interestingly enough, has certain physical characteristics. There are sounds and there are actual physical things you can perceive if you observe it objectively. For example, the sound of the astral plane is the roar of the sea, almost like putting a seashell up to your ear and listening to the sounds. So if you hear that when you're out of the body, then you know you're on the astral plane. Another example of a dimension is, let's say you're traveling on a car. And by the way, these dimensions have what we call the same kind of physical elements that we have on the earth plane, except that your thought creates a reality. So you can fly, teleport, and have blue breath if you want. You can do things on those dimensions that you can't do here. So let's say you're driving in a car and you're in a certain dimension. You know you're out of the body for various reasons. Okay. And you look down and you see iridescent blue highways. Where are you? Well, there's only one dimension that has iridescent blue highways, and that's the mental plane. And the reason being is because the mental plane's dirt is an iridescent blue color, and they make their roads from the dirt as we do, so you know you're on the mental plane. Another example would be, let's say you heard the buzzing of bees, and you look up in the sky, and 24 hours a day you can see beautiful stars. Well, and it's a very large dimension. Well, there's only one dimension that's characteristic of that, and that's the etheric plane. And that's a very important dimension because, you see, when you go to these dimensions, you travel there in your spiritual body. So, for example, if you go to the astral plane, you will travel in your astral body. If you go to the etheric plane, you use your etheric body, or the mental body for the mental plane, etc. Now, why is the etheric plane so important? Because the etheric body, which is the spiritual body that you travel in, that the soul travels into this dimension, is actually physically identical to the physical body. It's the only spiritual body that is. And the reason why that's important is because the etheric body is necessary for life on the physical plane. If anything was to happen to it, and nothing ever does, by the way, but if anything was to happen to the etheric body, you could not survive on the earth plane. You would clinically cross into spirit or die. The other spiritual bodies don't count anywhere near as much. Now, we use it for healing because when I do out-of-body experiences with my patients here, what happens is I take them to the etheric plane and I can actually do, at least they can through their own techniques, do spiritual, physical healing on the etheric body, on the etheric plane. And if you transfer that healing to the physical body on the earth plane, you can actually literally cure incurable diseases. And I have cases of cancer and AIDS and other lupus and other diseases that are technically incurable. And when these diseases actually been resolved, it's not me doing it, it's the etheric plane surgeons that live on the etheric plane working on the etheric body. So the etheric body is absolutely beautiful for therapy. The problem with the etheric body is that it's very jealous of its time. In other words, it fears that if you separate from it, you may compromise the physical body, which is why a lot of people have problems leaving the body because the etheric body pulls them back in almost like a rubber band because it's afraid that it's going to compromise the physical life. That's really not accurate at all, but that's why people have difficulties when they try to do out-of-body experiences without some other techniques, which we'll talk about in a little while, that can help you to avoid that particular difficulty.
Okay, very nice, very thorough. And I love your explanation of the etheric plane surgeons and how they can help and how really everything just works together. And having a facilitator like yourself can be of tremendous value. Let me move on now. I want to know, how do you travel to parallel universes?
Okay, now parallel universes, again, represents the fifth dimension. So basically, there are specific techniques that I lay out in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, which are actually going through literally like a black hole, white hole paradigm, if you want to deal with quantum physics and astrophysics. You can say it's a visual imagery technique, although you don't have to visualize things. But what you're doing is you're bringing in the higher self, the perfect part of your soul, as your guide. And what you're doing is you're literally traveling into the fifth dimension as you would with any other out-of-body experience, except instead of going to, let's say, the astral plane or the mental or etheric plane, as examples I've given, you're now traveling to the earth plane, except a parallel universe. In other words, it's physically identical to our particular universe, except the events are different. So in certain parallel universes, your life could be completely different. You could be married or single. You could have died on a parallel universe. It won't affect you here. And in other words, parallel universes do exist mathematically. They're supported by quantum physics. And traveling to them allows you to empower yourself. And I developed a technique called the New You Technique, where I train patients to perceive each of these parallel universes. And if necessary, let's say their life is compromised now, where no matter what they're going to do, they're not going to be able to obtain their goals. They're going to have a difficult life. They can perceive a parallel universe which represents their ideal path and literally switch tracks and move from one parallel universe to the other and attain their maximum goals. And I call that the New You Technique, and it's a beautiful technique of what I call psychic empowerment to allow people to take charge of their lives. And just as one aside, as a scientist, the August 2000 issue of Scientific American, which is a very respected magazine, documents the current research on parallel universes to show the reality. They're accepted by hardline scientists, and the closest parallel universe or sister universe to us is less than a millimeter away. That's a 40th of an inch. So close, yet so far.
Very nice. And I've been reading books by Dr. Kaku recently, which talk extensively about this. He was, of course, educated at Harvard and Berkeley, a theoretical physicist who backs up everything that you just said. So this is cutting-edge information, and you have gone beyond what modern physics has done because you found a way for people to access these parallel universes, whereas theoretical physicists can talk about them and perhaps even mathematically locate them. You can actually facilitate the travel to them. So I applaud the work that you're doing.
I appreciate that, but let me make a comment. Michio Kaku is brilliant because people can see him on he's got a TV show on cable TV where he talks about the universe and this and that on a daily basis. Michio Kaku is great because he's a very respected scientist, right? He's a professor and he's written several books. Now, he gives the theoretical support to my work, and I have the clinical cases to back it up. So now we have a marriage of the theoretical background, a theoretical physicist, and a clinician who's using hardline scientific principles for the purpose, again, my whole purpose in life is what I call psychic empowerment. Empowerment means taking charge of your life. The psychic part is using your subconscious or soul's energy, those terms are synonymous, to actually take charge of your life and be in control and be all you can be, as the old Army commercial used to say.
Very good, and we appreciate the work that you're doing. I wanted to know, how can people avoid the temporary paralysis commonly reported among astral projectors?
All right, now, as I mentioned, out-of-body experiences are actually common with the sleep cycle, with the REM cycle, the dream cycle. And the sleep paralysis, as it's referred to, is a natural part of the sleep cycle. So if you're doing this during the waking day, not during the dream cycle at night, if you use spiritual protection techniques, like think of the white light protection that people have all heard about, I have certain CD programs that I designed to magnify the protection in more detail, and I describe many of these exercises in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book. But if you allow yourself to protect yourself psychically or using spiritual protection techniques, you will avoid the paralysis that is would normally occur in attempting to go out of the body. Because the paralysis creates fear, and fear is the number one reason why people are unable to leave the body when they want to and have conscious memories of it.
Okay, very good. That makes sense. And just as a kind of a housekeeping note here, I wanted to say that generally in physics today, the fourth dimension is time. Locating anything in a three-dimensional space requires the additional coordinate of time, length, width, height, and also if we can place it in time, then we have the exact location of it. That's the fourth dimension. The fifth dimension is considered to be the other worlds that we're discussing. However, I wanted to, for my listeners, I wanted to do a little housekeeping here and point out that I often use the term fourth dimension to mean what metaphysical practitioners nowadays and physicists nowadays refer to as the fifth dimension. So just so that we avoid any confusion, I've been using that since the 80s, and I still refer to it as a fourth dimension, but just so nobody gets confused, the fourth dimension currently, commonly, is considered to be time, and what we're talking about is the fifth dimension.
Right. Now, understand that one of the confusion in the metaphysical literature, not the scientific literature, is that when people read books, they talk about the fourth density. That's a very common term, and that's been extrapolated to the fourth dimension. In reality, the fourth dimension, as Einstein utilized it in 100 plus years ago, is actually, I mean, there's no argument in the field of science. Fourth dimension is time. Fifth dimension is using the string theory and the M1 theory, which is the current theories, trying to get to the theory of everything, and we're not there yet, but we're getting close. Fifth dimension actually is beyond. Any dimension beyond time is considered fifth dimension. Now, technically, there are 26 dimensions if you go to the original string theory, so it gets complicated. We just use the word fifth dimension or the term to make it simple rather than trying to document, you know, 21 extra dimensions. In math works out, but people have a tendency to lose their attention after five dimensions.
I agree. And that was the breakthrough to realize that adding a fifth dimension really helps to explain a lot of the phenomena when we talk about Einstein and him trying to grapple with Newtonian physics and bring in this and then work in quantum physics, which was becoming popular at the time. Once we add the fifth dimension over everything, it really helps us make sense of things. But unfortunately, it has caused a little confusion in the metaphysical world. So metaphysically, I stick to the old school. When I say fourth dimension, I'm referring to what would commonly in physics be the fifth dimension. And of course, we understand that that Einstein made it clear that the fourth dimension in physics is time. Okay, very, very good. And I appreciate the academic level that this interview is taking. Let's move forward now. And I want to know what happens to the physical body while the soul is voyaging.
Well, this is interesting because fear is the reason, is basically the number one reason why people have difficulties leaving the body. If you overcome fear, you're 90% home. Now, one of the causes of fear, or one of the aspects, which is incorrect, doesn't mean that people aren't going to believe it, is that they say that, gee, if I leave the body, if my awareness, consciousness shifts from the physical plane, the earth plane, to the astral plane, for example, then my body's going to be unprotected and I'm going to be subject to possession or psychic attack or whatever. Well, that's not true. Fortunately, the universe is created rather perfectly by perfect beings. When you have an out-of-body experience, your soul clones, literally, an element of itself, so that there is a clone of your, sort of like an alias on a computer when you're looking at, you know, programs, that stays within the physical body while the soul leaves to go to a different dimension. That clone then merges back with the soul when it returns to the physical body, for example, when you wake up in the morning after you've been out of the body during the dream cycle. So the body is always protected. As I mentioned before, in the last 150 years of research on out-of-body experiences, going with England and America and all the other countries that have done this, there has never been any form of harm whatsoever. And that's because the physical body is always protected by this clone or alias of the soul while the actual soul is traveling.
Okay, very nice. That makes things a lot easier. Let's move forward now, and I want to know, how can I find my karmic purpose while accessing the Akashic records?
Well, the Akashic records first should be defined as basically like a chart of your past, present, future, parallel lives. Everything you've ever done or ever will do or have ever even conceived of doing is registered on what this, like I call it, a fifth dimensional computer chip. Now, the universe also has its own Akashic. Now, you can get to the Akashic records on any dimension, including the Earth plane. The easiest way to do that is to contact your higher self. And I refer to this as a super conscious mind tap. Your higher self is actually the part of your being, of your perfect part of your soul's energy, that will lay out or tap into the Akashic records, sort of like tapping into a program on a computer, and then allow you to perceive and review that particular aspect of your Akashic records. I call that a scan, where your Akashic records, you have to understand, are so complex. Think of everything you've ever done just in this life, and then magnify that by the average person who's been around at least 1,000 past lives, in my experience. I've done over 35,000 regressions in the last 35 years, and I can tell you, we've all been around a long time. So to make it simple, the higher self will then allow you, like sort of like a computer scan. You're looking at you're Googling something, or you're trying to pick out some little thing, and then just get a certain amount of information that you can deal with that can answer your question. For example, did you know someone in a past life? Or what is my karmic purpose? What am I here for in this karmic, what we call sub-cycle? You have maybe 1,000 lives, maybe the last dozen or so are most relevant to the purpose that you have now to accomplish. And your higher self, by accessing the Akashic records, which is stored, by the way, on the causal plane. That's the smallest of all the dimensions. The causal plane is the seat of the Akashic records. But you can access them like with a computer, like a Wi-Fi. You know, you can access things anywhere. You can access them on any dimension, including the Earth plane, as long as you hook up with your higher self. That's always the common denominator here.
Okay, very good. Moving on. What is the Akashic record scan technique?
Well, basically, you're using the higher self, and the scan is what I just mentioned, is your higher self. Think of it as like, let's say that you were in a library and you were looking up some old newspaper articles, and you had one of those monitors in front of you with some microfilm, and you were just zipping along trying to find an article. That would be a scan, okay? That would be more of a physical scan. The higher self can do that with your Akashic records, as we discussed. See, when you're in hypnosis, for example, your mind is actually functioning at about 500 words per minute. You would never recall that. It just zips right along. But then it can stop on a dime when a specific piece of information or a lifetime, whatever you're looking for, is relevant. So the higher self will make it a very efficient way for you to find out what you're looking for regarding your own karmic subcycle and your own karmic purpose.
My next question, Dr. Goldberg, is what is your favorite astral projection technique?
Well, my favorite one really is, I think, the easiest one for people to apply, and that is that what you're doing is, think of, let's say that if you remember when you were in school and you were taking a gym class and you were climbing up the ropes, you know, like in the gymnasium. If you can imagine yourself lying down, let's say on a bed where most people would practice their out-of-body experience, and then having a rope right hanging over your chest, and then taking your arms one at a time and climbing up the rope. What you're doing is you're having your astral body leave the physical body, separate from the physical body, as you're climbing up the rope. And it's a very simple analogy, and it makes it a lot easier for people who've had difficulty in leaving the body to actually have their first separation. Now, of course, I'm assuming that you're applying spiritual protection techniques so that you can avoid the paralysis. And I'm also assuming that you have a very good working or environment around you. And in the Exploring the Fifth Dimension book, I give lots of examples of how you can create your space where you're doing your exercises so that you have the least amount of distractions to facilitate the actual out-of-body experience.
Okay, wonderful technique. I've used it myself. I think it's very helpful, especially for those who are beginning to astral project, just a way that really makes sense to your mind and to your astral body to get you out. Dr. Goldberg, I want to thank you for being available for this interview today. It's been tremendous, the knowledge you have shared, the depth of your knowledge, both metaphysical and of the physical plane, on the scientific level. We appreciate the knowledge and the intelligence that you bring to the table and that you've brought to past lives and astral projection. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yes, if your listeners want to contact me, they can go to my website, which is www.dr, that's D as in David, R as in Robert, and then you spell my name, BRUCEGOLDBERG.com. There are 13 different video clips on there, which are free. They can see exactly what these techniques look like. I have over 30 articles on there, and there's a lot of information that can help them to learn more about these techniques, as well as all the books and CDs and everything else that I offer.
Okay, and that's drbrucegoldberg.com. Well, Dr. Goldberg, we appreciate you being available for the interview today, and thank you for taking your time and sharing your tremendous depth of knowledge spanning such a wonderfully long and beautiful career. So thank you very much, Dr. Goldberg.
My pleasure.